Testimony Concerning Brethren McPherson and Kramer, 1867. In Rochester, New York, December 25, 1865, I was shown many things concerning the people of God in connection with the work of God for these last days. I saw that many professed Sabbath keepers would come short of everlasting life. They fail to take warning from the course pursued by the children of Israel, and fall into some of their evil ways, and if continued in will, like them, fall and never enter the heavenly Canaan. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Many, I saw, would fall this side of the kingdom. God is testing and proving his people, and many would not endure the test of character, the measurement of God. I saw that many would have close work to overcome their peculiar traits of character and be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, unrebukable before God and man. Many professed Sabbath keepers in right will be no special benefit to the cause of God or the church without a thorough reformation on their part. Brother McPherson, your case was especially shown me. You are not right before God. Your political views are at fault. They are not in harmony with God's word and are not in union with the body of Sabbath-keeping believers. Your views do not accord with the principles of our faith. Light has been given sufficient to correct all who wished to be corrected. All who still retain their erroneous principles, which are not in accordance with the spirit of truth, are living in violation to the principles of heaven. Therefore, as long as they thus remain, they cannot possess the spirit of freedom and holiness. Your principles and position in political matters are a great hindrance to your spiritual advancement. It is a constant snare to you and a reproach to our faith, and if you retain these principles, you will eventually be brought into just the position the enemy would be glad to have you in, where you will be finally separated from Sabbath-keeping Christians. Brethren McPherson and Kramer were shown me upon about the same ground in their views and political sentiments, and both of these brethren have been ready to give battle if their course was questioned. When Brother Root has felt it his duty to reprove, exhort, rebuke as God should direct him, these brethren have not received it, but with a strong spirit they rose up against Brother Root. Even if they were all right and Brother Root wrong, their course was not justifiable, but was void of wisdom and discretion, and was a great injury to the church, and gave unbelievers opportunity, if so disposed, to exalt and excuse themselves for not receiving the truth, because of the disunion and discord among those who believed the truth. But these brethren were not correct. They were wrong. They possessed great confidence in their own judgment. They thought they were being pressed, they were being crowded, and they would not submit to be dictated to, or to have their course questioned, or their track crossed in the least. They thought they understood themselves as well as Brother Root. These two brethren possessed strong will, set in their own understanding. They did not receive the counsel of Brother Andrews. His teachings were rejected, and his influence of no account, because he crossed the track of these two men. Those who slight and set at naught the testimony of Brother Andrews do the same to the Son of God. For Brother Andrews was his ambassador, his chosen servant to speak in Christ's stead. God has fitted him through peculiar trials. Through poverty and adversity, he has obtained a valuable experience, and has, through these trials, been qualified to act an important part in the last closing work for God's people. Had Brother Loughborough's testimony been born and crossed the track of these brethren, it would have had the same effect. No testimony from any mortal man,
though he may be commissioned of high heaven, would have the influence God designed, because these brethren have so much confidence in themselves, have exalted views of their own judgment and wisdom. This strong self-confidence, relying upon their own wisdom and supposed knowledge, will most assuredly prove the overthrow of these brethren unless they are converted, and in the place of the self-confident spirit they possess, be willing to become learners and as teachable as children, sit at the feet of their brethren and be willing to be instructed. These brethren cannot receive the approval of heaven while they lack sympathy for the oppressed slave and are at variance with the pure republican administration of our government. Heaven has no sympathy with rebellion upon earth, any more than with the rebellion in heaven. When the great rebel questioned the foundation of God's government in heaven, he was thrust out with all who sympathized with him and his rebellion.
We are to see troublous times and to be brought into severe conflict, such as you have not dreamed of. Christ prayed to his Father that his disciples might be one, even as he was one with the Father. It should be the earnest effort of every follower of Christ to answer the prayer of his divine teacher, to be one as Christ was one with the Father. This oneness is essential for the strength of God's people, that they may be sanctified through the truth and prepared to meet the conflict before them in perfect union. Brother McPherson, you need to be converted, and unless you are, you will fail of heaven. You possess an overbearing spirit and a disposition to accumulate, and this is so strong upon you that you overreach. If you could advantage yourself, you have done so even at others' disadvantage, not accepting your brethren in the faith. You have done this and will continue to do it unless your eyes are anointed by a clear sense of Bible truth, laying the axe at the root of the tree, and your errors and wrongs are discerned, confessions made, and, there is, a forsaking of these sins, and you are thoroughly converted. Your overbearing spirit has been felt in the church. Where you have dared to do it, you have placed your iron heel to grind down and crush those whom angels minister unto. You grieve and oppress one of these little ones. Those who bear responsibilities in the church have been afraid to act out and speak out their convictions and clear their consciences. And in consequence, some have been in bondage. God's blessing does not rest upon the church as it would if there was not wrong cherished in the church by being covered. From what was shown me, Brother Root was well calculated to fill his place as elder of the church and his voice be heard. If he possessed true moral worth, yet was a poor man, his influence would not be as great as it now is. Excellence of character, in the estimation of some moneyed men, will avail but little in the absence of earthly possessions. Money has power. Money sways a mighty influence. Brethren Root and Rogers have felt the weight of the cause upon them, yet there has been a fearing to move. Brother Root has felt a pressure bearing against the influence he was trying to exert in the church. When he sees things are going wrong in the church, it is his duty to speak, and it is the duty of the church to sustain him. He has felt fearful of speaking out his convictions in regard to things in the church, which looked to him as though moving wrong. Someone must take the responsibility of moving, of speaking and correcting wrongs, although they cross the track of members of the church who have influence. The church have failed to stand together.